Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read, Zechariah chapter 14, and read again at verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Well, last time we considered this chapter in Zechariah, we noticed that from the spiritual Jerusalem in heaven, there will flow out living waters. Verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. So the blessing of spiritual life will be enjoyed by all of God's people, and that forever. As it were, from sea to sea, so extensive and widespread, all of God's people will enjoy this spiritual blessing. And now in our text, verse 9, the prophet is further declaring the spiritual blessings of the church. So our text continues to show the blessings that the glorified church will enjoy. And the greatest blessing of all is, of course, the presence of God himself. He alone will be worshipped, and he alone will be served. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. It will be manifest that there is one God, and the way that he is worshipped and served will be clear to all according to his will. Now, before we look at this verse more closely, you might ask, how can this describe the church in its glorified state in heaven when it says the Lord shall be king over all the earth? Well, it is just as we find in Revelation chapter 21, where we read about the church in its glorified state, that a new heaven and a new earth began to be. That is what John saw. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So it's describing the church in its glorified condition, using the figures of heaven and earth, a new state of things in relation to the church. So these words, we believe, as we have taken the view of it referring to the glorified state of the church triumphant in heaven, speaks of the reign of God, God as king, in heaven, over all his people. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Of course, these words do describe the condition of the church here on earth in its prosperous condition, when the church will enjoy great spiritual prosperity. And we believe that that is what Revelation chapter 20 is referring to. It's often called the millennium, what has been called the golden age of the church here on earth. The church has not reached perfection, but has spiritually advanced to a great measure. And in that day, in the millennium, that golden age of the church here on earth, indeed, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. So this text, while we believe it refers to the glorified state of the church, can also be applied to the church here on earth in its spiritual prosperous condition. So we have here a comforting promise that God himself will be glorified in the hearts of his people. He will establish his rule in their hearts, and it will be manifest to everyone that there are not many gods, there is not a plurality of deities, there is only one God, and it will be clear to all that there is one Lord, and his name is one. So, with the Lord's help, we want to consider first the unity of God's kingdom, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. The unity, or we might say the universality, of his kingdom. We'll call it the unity of his kingdom. Secondly, the unity of God's nature. In that day shall there be one Lord. That's the unity of God's nature. He is one God. And thirdly, the unity of God's name, and his name one. The unity of God's kingdom, of God's nature, and of God's name. So we begin with the unity of God's kingdom, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. The word of God tells us that God is a king. For example, in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14, God says to his people, "For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Again, Psalm 95, verse 3, "For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods." And our king, God himself, has a kingdom. And we read about the kingdom of God in the Bible, and we may often wonder, what is it exactly referring to? But basically, it is referring to the rule of God, God's authority, his rule, the rule of God in the heart of man. The rule of God in the heart of man is his kingdom. He is a king and he has a kingdom. Kings have laws, kings have servants, kings have soldiers, and so on. God is a great king. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And his kingdom is universal. The Lord shall be king over all the earth, not just part of it, not just in some lands, but over all lands. And even now, of course, God rules over all the earth, even though many people do not acknowledge his authority. They don't submit to him. But in his providence, God is ruling over all. He is governing. He is arranging, organizing everything to his own glory. We read that the king's heart, king on earth, that is, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. But, according to our text, a day is coming when people will consciously acknowledge God as king. They will be brought to submit to him. Everyone will bow before him. We read in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, "The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth." Everyone will bow before him, everyone will submit to him, and they will be brought by his almighty power to do so. And his kingdom is eternal. As we just read, he shall reign forever and ever. And when the angel was speaking to Mary to inform her that she would give birth to the Son of God, the angel told her that he would be great. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, what do we think of this king? We should ask ourselves, do we submit to his authority? Are we his willing servants? Or will we be forced, against our will, to acknowledge him as king. One day, we read, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But not everyone will do so willingly. You see, the devils believe and tremble. They do not love the fact that Jesus is king, but they are forced to acknowledge it. And every human being will acknowledge that Jesus is king. But you see how much better it is that we would be willingly submitting to Christ the King. That we would not despise him and reject him, though forced to acknowledge he is the King. But that we would willingly adore him and worship him as our King. And we should seek his grace, that we would be willing, that we would have grace to lovingly keep his commandments. Because a day is coming when the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Well, we come in the second place to consider the unity of God's nature. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. The unity of God's nature. We might say the unity of the Godhead or the unity of the divine being. The fact is that from the Word of God, God is one. It doesn't mean, of course, in our text that before this occasion there were other gods, but there were people who worshipped other gods that were false. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord. In that day it will be manifest that there is one Lord. And as you see in the original, or rather in our text, in that day there shall be one Lord. The word Lord is in capital letters, which means it is the word or name Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God, referring to his self-existence, his unchangeableness, and his eternity. So it will be clear to all that the Lord is one. There are not many gods. There is only one God. And this was declared, of course, long ago to the people of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," or one Jehovah. They had just come out of Egypt, where there were many, many gods. And they might have been tempted to think that, yes, this is the God of Israel, but there might be others that join with him. No, Jehovah is one. Our God is one Lord. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." But you see, throughout the centuries, people have changed God to fit their own imaginations. That is what the apostle says in Romans chapter 1. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. They worshipped four-footed beasts and creeping things. Paul says in another place, "We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." One God. And throughout the centuries, many nations worshipped false gods, false deities. They would serve other so-called gods, many lords, many masters, and changing these false gods to fit their own imaginations and their own desires, as long as they received provision and security, were allowed to live their lives the way they pleased, they were happy to worship these false gods. and all the while rejecting the true God. But we are told that that would not go on forever. Even today, there are many gods. The gods of the Maoris, Buddha, Islam, although they claim to be worshipping one God, Hinduism, what a great variety of religions, false religions, a great variety of gods. Even those who call themselves Christians, some of them profess to believe in polytheism, many gods. But in that day shall there be one Lord, one Jehovah. And so here we have a comforting promise that this false religion will not be forever. That this opposition to the living and true God will not continue. Anarchy and rebellion will come to a halt. And it will be fully clear to everyone that there is one God. The whole universe will acknowledge that there is one God. But of course, there is only one way to go to God. And we are told in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Of course, those who call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, they will acknowledge that Jesus is the way to be saved, but they do not acknowledge that Jesus himself is God. They can't understand. It doesn't fit their reason. How can there be one God and three persons? But that is how God reveals himself to us. There is one God, and this God is three persons. He is revealing himself to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the nature of God is one, but the personality of God is three. One God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that we are directed to him who is the mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." And as you know, in other places of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the mediator, is called God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there is one God, and he has revealed himself to us in Christ. And this is very important, because people today will say there are many ways to God, but there are not. It is not through Judaism, it is not through Buddhism, it is not through any other way that can be imagined, but through Christ, who is revealed to us in the Bible. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is through Christ, who is God, one God, who has revealed himself to us in three persons, as we said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling us that no man can come to the Father but by me, he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So we have access to God through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And it's not by any way that man has appointed. It is not through angels, not through the Virgin Mary. There is one God and one mediator, Paul says, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And it is through him that we have access to the Father. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Through his blood, through his righteousness, through his finished work at Calvary's cross, sinners have access to God. So he is calling us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. Well, we've considered the unity of God's kingdom, the unity of God's nature, and now the unity of God's name. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Not only is God one, but his name is one. What is the name of God? The name of God is God himself, as he has revealed himself. So the whole revelation of God is his name. And we are reminded of the Shorter Catechism question, what is required in the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The third commandment requires the holy and reverent use of God's names, titles, attributes, ordinances, word, and works. So all of these are his name. He reveals himself by his literal names, such as Jehovah, by his titles as a great king. He reveals himself in his ordinances, in the word of God, the scriptures, and in preaching, in the sacraments. These are all his name. They are the revelation of God. His works declare himself to us, his wisdom, his goodness. And we are to have a holy and reverent use of all these things. So God's name is one. The way that God has revealed himself, there is unity in it, unity in his revelation. And it is not for us to interpret his revelation in the way that we please. But we are told that his name is one. There is one truth. There is one accurate view of the truth. So the day is coming when there will not be divisions in the church. There will not be various views. There's only one right view. It's our duty to seek the mind of the Lord that we would understand his word. But in that day there shall be one Lord and his name one. And this is again a very comforting truth. There is one way to worship him, and of course it is revealed in his word. And all worship centers upon Christ and through Christ. And that will be clear not only in this world, but in heaven, when the glory of God will be revealed in Christ, and the Lamb shall lead his people to fountains of living waters. You know, we ask, how can there be many, many opinions in heaven, in the glorified state of the church, when everyone will have the perfect knowledge of God? So this is a truth, that everyone will see eye to eye. There are not going to be disagreements in heaven. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. But of course we're not to, as it were, put this on hold and just wait until we arrive at heaven. Paul the Apostle says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So that is something we should strive for. It is not a good thing that there are so many different denominations, That was never the intention of the head of the church. How thankful we should be that the day is coming that his name will be one, and all this diversity of opinion and interpretations of the Bible will all come to an end. His name will be one. As it were, there will be one commentary, and that will be the Holy Spirit. As we heard on Sabbath morning, all thy children shall be taught of God. All being taught by God himself. And there won't be differing views on the gifts of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, baptism, immersion or sprinkling, differing manuscripts of the Bible, differences in church government, even among Presbyterian churches. What a great variety. The PRC, the RPC, the OPC, the APC, and on and on. These things ought not to be. We should be pleading the promise, in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. So, is it our desire to strive for this unity? This is what Paul, again, by inspiration, is bringing before us, that we would endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's one glorious Savior, as we said already, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. One God and his name one, one mediator between God and men. And how wonderful that we are told to set our highest affection upon the highest one, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. How we should acknowledge him to be the King, and to acknowledge him as the living and true God, and our God, and worship and glorify him accordingly. He is calling us tonight. He is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. The yoke of Christ is his authority. He is the King. Are we willing to submit to him? Are we desiring to be loyal to him? Or are we still rejecting him, turning our back on him? He is the King, and he is calling us to come to him. And oh, let us pray for that power, that in his kingly power, he would make us willing, because the priest is upon the throne, and the way to the Father is Jesus himself, who is revealing himself to us as a prophet to teach us, as a priest to save us, and as a King to rule over us. He's saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And the Lord shall be King over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. May he bless his word.